This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. University of North Carolina's Center for Civil Rights is one step closer to losing the power to sue. That's after a committee of the UNC Board of Governors voted to ban the center from taking its legal work into the courtroom. The UNC Center for Civil Rights has historically represented poor and disenfranchised clients, often in cases related to race and environmental issues. Dave DeWitt is WNC's managing editor. He's been following the story. Hello, Dave.
Hi, Frank.
Tell us more about this. UNC System Board of Governors, a committee meeting yesterday. That was where the 5-1 vote took place. Tell us more about this issue.
Yeah, the Committee on Educational Planning Policies and Programs met yesterday, and they typically take up issues if a campus wants to tweak a major, maybe, you know, add a major or get rid of one. This is what that committee deals with. This obviously was a little bit different in that they were dealing with the UNC Center for Civil Rights and whether to allow it to continue to litigate. The 5-1 vote with one abstention was pretty it was pretty obvious from the beginning that was going to be the vote. Anna Nelson was she's the chair of the committee. She was the only one who voted not to favor this policy. And the one abstention was Daryl Allison, who's a fairly new member of the board. Also, People for Educational Freedom of North Carolina, fairly close to Republicans. Also a graduate of NC Central and the UNC Law School. As a matter of fact, three of the members of this committee are graduates of the UNC Law School.
Tell us more about the significance of this. Should the Board of Governors, and I think it's pretty well expected that the Board of Governors will go along with this, what does it mean? What is it that the center had been doing?
The center has sort of a three-pronged approach: education, research, and litigation. And it's been involved in some fairly high-profile cases over the years. We should note that it was founded by Julius Chambers, a legendary NAACP attorney who, you know, really, when he founded the clinic, he really wanted this to be a part of it, the litigation part of it. So it is a major part of what they do. These are professional attorneys in conjunction with students, education part of it, and the research part. But they've been involved in some fairly high-profile cases. I've personally covered a couple cases they've done that have dealt with education segregation issues in Halifax and Pitt counties. They deal with voting rights issues. They deal with environmental justice issues, some very important cases through the years.
So what's the rationale for taking away this power to sue?
It depends on who you ask. The man who started this ball rolling is a man named Steve Long. He's a member of the UNC Board of Governors, not specifically this committee. He is a Raleigh attorney. His argument has been that there shouldn't be one state entity that is able to sue another state entity, that is a lack of resources, or not a lack, I'm sorry, sort of a misuse of resources. You're using resources from one state to sue another entity of the state. So obviously the Center for Civil Rights has sued boards of commissioners across the state, has sued school districts. So that argument, if his is, he says it's not political, doesn't have anything to do with whether they're liberal or progressive or whether they were conservative. He thinks it's a misuse of resources.
All right. But you spoke with the center's managing attorney, Mark Dorison, and he does not agree with that assessment at all.
Those North Carolina residents who this university is designed to serve are being ignored, their interests are being discounted, and like they've been marginalized for centuries, they're being marginalized again right here in this boardroom at UNC.
Mark Dorison, managing attorney for the UNC Center for Civil Rights. Obviously, that is part of the other side. What is the opposition to this saying?
Well, the opposition says it's very much a political decision, that this is the third time in a couple of years that the General Assembly or the UNC Board of Governors has come after the law school specifically. This year, there was a $500,000 cut to the law school that was in the General Assembly's budget. 2 years ago, they eliminated the Center for Poverty. There isn't another school in any campus based in North Carolina that's had to go through anything like this. They also say it's simply an infringement of academic freedom, that these decisions should be made at the campus level about what the centers and institutes do, that this decision should not be made at the UNC Board of Governors level. The UNC Board of Governors has the legal authority to do this. Anna Nelson, who's the chair of this committee, who was the lone no vote, that was her thinking, that this should be a campus-based decision. That's why not only just center people, but faculty people, Carol Folt, 600 law school deans and administrators from across the country stood up for the academic freedom aspect of this.
Well, I was going to ask you about that. So the university is behind the center on this and opposed to this decision to take away this power. How common is it for centers like this that are state-funded to be actively engaged like this?
It's not all that common. There are some that do it. Now, because of the way North Carolina organizes its centers and institutes and the way law clinics are organized in other places across the country, it's not really an apples-to-apples comparison. But it's not super common that you see a civil rights entity within a law school sue other entities within state government.
All right. The optics in this, I mean, obviously there is an argument to be made about state funding and whether or not state institutions should be involved in this. But the optics are pretty bad because in some ways you have to say this is an institution that has been defending people who otherwise don't have the right, the means to defend themselves against some pretty serious, as you say, environmental and discrimination cases. Is there any political fallout from this?
Well, you know, the political fallout is obviously it drives a further wedge between Republicans and Democrats. Republicans in charge of the General Assembly have appointed now Board of Governors members for several years who, you know, several former lawmakers are on the Board of Governors now. That is not something that is going to go away anytime soon. But, you know, it's hard to say that this isn't political when this particular law school has been targeted in this way for three straight times now, when we haven't seen that anywhere else within the university system. I think that's the argument that, you know, seems to stick most for the people who, as you say, sort of see this, the optics of this not being very good.
All right. What's the next step?
The next step is the full UNC Board of Governors will take this up on September 8th. There are some members of that Board of Governors who say they are unsure right now how they'll vote.
All right, Dave, thank you so much.
My pleasure.
Dave DeWitt is WUNC's managing editor.